It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people like Chris Emma.
Bears report time. Doesn't matter what's going on with us. The Bears are practicing. We're talking about it. Chris Emma with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. What's up, Emma?
What's up? How we doing, guys?
We are doing well. How was Caleb Williams today?
He looked good. He looked sharp, continued on from where he left off Saturday in the preseason game. They did have a light walkthrough Sunday as well before the off day yesterday, but it was impressive from Caleb. The operation is getting noticeably cleaner. You've heard praise from some of his teammates as well. And you heard some real praise about the way that he played, throwing for 95 yards in that preseason debut, some of the throws he made. He left a real impression on some of his teammates. I guess we'll just get right to him, man. Here's Andrew Billings talking about his quarterback.
Oh, yeah. That was beautiful. You know, we watch him do what he does at practice. You know, it just, we want to see it in the game. And the fact that he came out there and he did what he did and stayed composed with it, that's all you can ask for him, really.
So, you know, it's good stuff, Emma. We want to know what the teammates are thinking and feeling. And we were just talking about what the defensive players might think as they're watching. And Billings is a vet. It's interesting how much better Caleb looked in that game than he really had it in most practices. And that in itself is compelling. But you're saying he brought that back to practice and carried on what he had shown on Saturday.
Yeah, highlight of the day came toward the ends of practice, a 30-yard touchdown pass for Romo Odunze. Odunze ran around past Terrell Smith by coverage and hit him in stride. It was a great throw, one of those plays that gets the entire camp all fired up. So, but the operation has been cleaner, too. You've seen fewer pre-snap mistakes. It's funny hearing Andrew Billings as well being the guy praising Caleb Williams, because Billings has been one of the menaces for this defense that's gotten after Caleb Williams and this offensive line. You know, they're barking off the snap counts and trying to really rattle these guys a little bit. Like, he's one of the guys that's really kind of challenged and created problems in a way for Caleb Williams. I like Billings being real there, saying, look, we see it in practice. We want to see it in a game now, and it looked pretty good out there.
Yeah, you know, what was your top impression? So, I mean, the mechanics, good. The game, impressive. But on-field Caleb Williams, what's been your top takeaways of the last, you know, 72 hours or so?
Gosh, I mean, it's kind of in a way the culmination of these last, I don't know, so many months where you talk to different people about Caleb Williams before they even drafted him. Like, what are the Bears getting in this guy if he is the guy? And then ultimately, when you make that pick, what's he going to look like as the potential quarterback? And the thing you kept hearing about Caleb Williams is, like, the processing level is next level. Like, that's his great strength. And you've seen glimpses of it in practice where he's able to hit a throw for somebody along the sidelines and pull the trigger on something that other quarterbacks simply aren't seeing right away or not confident making that throw. Caleb's willing to pull the trigger on that. You get him out there in a game, and it translated. That first completion that he hit to DJ Moore was one where he looked off DeMar Hamlin, the safety over the top, and kind of created an opening in a way for DJ Moore where there were three defenders in the area, but Caleb was able to buy him enough space just with his eye work and then going through his progressions to get that ball on the spot to DJ Moore for a first down throw. That's an example of that processing element of what Caleb Williams really brings to this offense. So it checked every box. But I had low expectations, and not necessarily anything against Caleb Williams, but just, you don't want to set expectations too high for these preseason games. It's about operation. It's about everything pre-snap and then obviously just getting out of there healthy. Anything more that you would have gotten on Saturday would have been nice. I thought he looked great. I really did.
Chris, the plan for this week with the Bengals coming in, and I think Susanna Hoff still has it, but the Bengals are coming in for Thursday and Friday. Is there a chance we don't see Caleb in Saturday's game? Because Zach Taylor has said flat out that the Bengals starters are unlikely to play on Saturday.
Yeah, I should clarify first. I think the Bengals Friday will be a private thing away from the Bears. I think this is kind of their own walkthrough. I don't know where they're going to be, but Thursday will be the big day. The Bengals will not be playing their starters, as you mentioned, Speaks. We still don't know about the Bears. We will hear from Matt Eberflus I believe next on Thursday. So we'll know after practice, but I do not imagine the starters are going to play either for the Bears. But we had this precedent set last year when the Bears were down in Indianapolis with the Colts. And Matt Eberflus, after that first practice, said, I love the way we're working out there. We're going to give our starters the rest for this preseason game. Look, they structure every detail of these practices. They go two different fields, Bears offense versus Bengals defense, vice versa on the other side. They're running basically simultaneous with ones against ones and the twos against twos and getting all the work out there. And these coaches obviously need to go through a plan and have everything set up where it's better than a preseason game in their mind. The way that you're able to structure these practices, Zach Taylor certainly sees the value if he's keeping their starters out of action. I think Matt Eberflus will follow suit as well.
All right, so what else do we have from the report today in terms of people that we're talking, Emma?
Yeah, I mean, the other standout from Saturday's game, the other rookie who really popped was Austin Booker, the fifth-round pick. 2.5 sacks in that game. And, like, it's meaningful for this kid. This is somebody that we've been talking about ever since he was made that fifth-round pick when the Bears traded back for him. And you kept hearing raw talent, but a guy who's willing to learn, who's willing to be better. The thing he kept hearing, too, is that like he could be a first-round caliber pick if he stayed in for next year's draft. He was ready to get to the NFL, really ready to work. And like the kid just strikes me. He's got the talent. You could see him that last sack in particular where he kind of spun off from one end, cut back inside, and then bounced off the A gap and got to the quarterback for a half sack. That's digging into the toolbox of pass rush moves for him. So it looked really impressive. We heard from Eric Washington, the defensive coordinator, talking about what Austin Booker has done to really stand out so far. Here's Eric Washington.
Well, I think he's got an innate feel. And the good rushers are hard to hit. They're hard to stall. And they understand at max speed how to engage their hands, how to contort their body, how to counter at max speed without having to slow themselves down and allow the protection to kind of catch up with what they're doing, whether they're staying outside or trying to work inside. He has a great feel for that. And right now what he's going through is taking what he brings to the table and combining that with all of the other details that he has to have from an assignment standpoint situationally so he can play good, clean football and we can get maximum benefit from what he can do.
How does the guy have a feel when he only plays 500 snaps in college?
Well, that's a great question. That's just what he's blessed with, his God-given talent, and also what he's done before he even got here in terms of just understanding that position, the game of football, and how to rush and against protections and some of those things. So a lot of credit goes to him and what he's able to do.
Man, I'm getting excited about the possibilities here because, look, we've seen it with the eye test in games in preseason. You guys have seen it with the eye test, pardon me, in practices. The way Flus was talking about him the other day, he's got that natural slip that he's like slippery, and that's Flus with an eye for defensive talent. And right there with Washington, man, when you can do your stuff to get around the edge at maximum speed and it's fluid like that and you've only played 500 snaps, you don't even know the freaking nuances of what you're doing, they might have scouted and found somebody here. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, the idea of a future first-round pick is interesting. It's a tough position to crack. There's just a lot of incredible elite athletes at the position. But if he ends up being even just a starting caliber player, certainly a second contract guy. I mean, it'll go down, given just the premium value of the position.
Yeah.
It'll go down as one of the big, not the biggest, because, I mean, the biggest Ryan Poles win is the Bryce Young, Caleb Williams, and everything else trade.
Sure.
But, I mean, if he found a starting caliber defensive end for the trade of a future fourth round pick, I mean, it'll just go down as a great, great, great win.
Without a doubt, yeah. Look, I remember asking Ryan Poles after night two of the draft, did you have any intentions to trade back to get some more picks in this draft? He said, you know, not really, but there's got to be somebody we really have a star next to and somebody we really got to value to make that move. That was Austin Booker, and they kept seeing him fall. They made that Torrey Taylor pick at 122, and Booker just kept falling. I bet they were torn not to take Austin Booker, but he kept falling and falling, and it was right there for them, and pick 144 comes along, and they make that move. Like, they feel really confident about this kid. You talk to people in that building, too, who've got to know the Austin Booker. Like, he is really determined. He's got a great head on his shoulders, and, like, that matters. That's not just something you say about this kid. Like, he's got the talent. We've heard all about that. It's raw. He's got to work. He's got to put in what it takes to be great. like really eager.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
To improve. Somebody who, like, the second he got drafted, talked to Travis Smith, his defensive line coach, pulled the number from Max Crosby, called him Max Crosby days after he got drafted. Like, what do I got to do to be like you? How can I be great? It says a lot about him. He's embraced every bit of this. And now a guy like Gary Washington is really important in that developmental process. Washington has been key in the growth of some of these young defensive linemen he's gone on to coach. He really sees something in Austin Booker. He did say later, like, I don't want to rave too much. This kid still has a long way to go, which is great to hear from a coach. But, like, they see something in this kid.
Texter's on it, and I'll add him to my list. Like, if we're thinking about players possibly getting featured in tonight's Hard Knocks, Colin Johnson, who they started to tease with the Week 1 stuff, Velus Jones, because the director was talking in the Adam Johns piece about the running backs room being interesting and Chad Morton being somebody they like, and Velus is an interesting story, and Austin Booker. Austin Booker feels like a real obvious, like, who did they find a diamond in the rough kind of thing for Hard Knocks.
I mean, it would be a choice to not do 60 minutes on Caleb, but I guess that would be fine. Yeah, sure, I suppose. I don't know why. Defensive end, receiver, boring. Give me all of Caleb Williams that you could possibly handle. What have your impressions been of Eric Washington, Emma, overall? He matters a lot for this team, given that they haven't made premium investments in talent on the defensive line.
Yeah, I think he's the right compliment to Matt Eberflus. I think he's somebody who really knows the coaching and developmental side. And it really matters when you think about Eberflus's intention to be that true CEO-level head coach and to oversee every bit of this. I think Washington is the right compliment as somebody who knows this defense and knows the scheme, but also knows what each individual needs. And he's got a great way about him. You know, he's got like a military kind of sound to him. He's very direct. He's a no-nonsense kind of guy, but he also seems like somebody who's really good for young players and somebody who can help these guys kind of grow and learn along the way. So still figuring him out, but like I've been really struck by him so far.
All right, and what's the status and the latest with Nate Davis?
He was back out there today, and it was a limited role, but it was good to see because I thought we might have been at least a week away from him really being back out there. You have to kind of wonder to some extent, like, did he get the messages? Did he get the proverbial fire lit you know where? Like, it's good to see him back out there. It's a slow ramp up, and I think it's going to be a bit before he is full go, but that was a positive development for this offensive line. On the other end, Ryan Bates was not out there today. He was sidelined once again. He left practice late last week, so that would have been Wednesday with an injury. Has not been back out there since. Did not play during Saturday's game. So you got Coleman Shelton lining up as the center. Nate Davis taking reps at right guard until he checked out, and Matt Pryor jumped into that spot. They're still working through things, guys. Like, this is still – we're August 13th right now. You're under a month to go until Week 1, and you're still kind of figuring out this offensive line. Braxton Jones, who is healthy, your starting left tackle, was asked about the value of continuity on the offensive line. Here's Braxton Jones.
I mean, I think, you know, we're playing football at the highest level. So, I mean, obviously it's super important. Obviously some of the best lines in football have played, you know, 5-6 years all together in the same system. And that's kind of why they're the best. But at the end of the day, we all are the best players in the NFL. And so it matters, but you still got to go in and operate when something does happen. There's so many injuries in this league. And I just think being able to adjust is obviously a big thing too. But like I said, the continuity and running with the same guy for the whole camp or 2-3 years really does matter, but at the same time, we got to be able to adjust and play football.
Do you get a chance to talk to Chris Morgan at all, the O-line coach, here during camp, or is that a no-no in its entirety?
A little bit last week, yes, I did.
Okay, and as I hear Braxton talk about that continuity, I find myself wondering about Morgan, who they retained from last year. Interesting that they retained Morgan to work with Shane Waldron, and I wonder what he thinks about who their best five is when healthy.
I'll be honest with you. Chris Morgan did not seem like a happy guy last week, and he's somebody who's pretty upbeat and has a very good way about him. He seemed downright frustrated last week. So this is during, like, Nate Davis has just went down again. I can't remember if that was before or after Ryan Bates went down, but like, this is a guy who's been every day, what do I have for my first team offensive line? I mean, all five positions, they've had somebody different in there because of an injury or whatever it may be. It's not good. It's frustrating for an offensive line coach, and it's frustrating from an offense as a whole. When you're talking about developing a young quarterback like Caleb Williams, he doesn't know who his center is going to be every day because you don't know who the right guard is going to be. You don't know what the trickle-down effect is going to be. Yeah, Chris Morgan seemed a little frustrated. It's out of character for him. He's not somebody he's not outwardly frustrated, but you can sense it's like, all right, let's see what we got every day. And, they get through this week, you head into that final week of the preseason. You want to get some answers. You want to know what's your starting five going to be going into week one.
All right, Bears nuggets and tidbits with Chris Emma in this Bears report.
Yeah, Montez Sweat was back in action today in a limited role. Eric Washington was asked about Sweat, said there is no concern over his availability for week one. Kyler Gordon also returned to practice in kind of a ramp-up phase. Tyreek Stevenson, Jaquan Brisker, Roquan Johnson were among those who were not practicing. As you mentioned, guys, Hard Knocks second episode is tonight. Andrew Billings said his TV is broken, so he's not been able to watch. $8 million extension should be able to take care of that. And Danny, if you'll allow me, man, we know we all recognize you were an incredible talent when you came in. You did some great work along the way, but you poured yourself into everything, man, to this station, to what about Chicago, to the fundraiser this weekend. We're proud of you. You should have a lot to be proud of. It's been an honor to work with you. And best of luck in your role as chief meteorologist, Channel 2 in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Chris.
A lot of tornadoes out there, Chris.
That's true. That's where they send
the big... down there, buddy.
Yeah, thank you. That's where they send the big talents. Yeah, it's a Little Rock for tornado season. Thank you, man. That means a lot. I really appreciate it. It's been nice working with you and getting to know you, and been nice talking to you a little bit about this radiothon. Your heart's in the right place, and you do great work as well with the Jeff Dickerson, Vaughn McClure Foundation. I know you're on the board over there, so keep it up, man. You do great work, and honestly, these Bears reports with you and for Grody sometimes have been incredible. So good stuff, man. Thank you. It's been an honor to work with you.
I appreciate it, buddy. Hey, good luck with everything. Take care.
Thank you. That is Chris Emma. Oh God.
Yeah, man.
I was thinking Bears.
Yeah, Little Rock. Yeah, you know, you thought that he had one more nugget. He had one more nugget.
It was odd for Tandy to play, you know, New York as the open today, but you know, that was the name of that song, right?
I think so. But
I think it was.
You know what they say about Little Rock, though?
It's the New York of Arkansas.
They say if you can make it there,
you could make it anywhere.
Anywhere. It's up to you.
Right.
Little Rock. Little Rock. That's exactly right.
If you can make it there, they say, why do you want to make it here? This is Little Rock.
If you can make it there, then you shouldn't have come in the first place. Yeah. Shane, I had offers out of college at Emerson, where I was a TV sports guy, to go be a weekend sports guy in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And instead, I came out here to sing instead.
Smart.
Worked out for you.
It did work out, but, you know, parents weren't thrilled. You know, not very excited. We just sent you to college for 4 years. Remember that part where we paid for college?
Yeah.
So those job offers you have, you're not going to take those, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just going to sing. How's that going to work out for you?
Well,
you know,
Alabama.
That's right. What can you do?
You tell them one day I'll be working with Danny Barton.
That's right. One day I'll be getting ready for my fifth different partner since 2009.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
I mean,
38th overall.
Yeah, but fill in those one-offs.
I mean,
you've worked as long as you have.
Sure. But yeah, five since 2009. It's not that many.
I'd say you've worked long enough, Speaks.
It's not what I meant.
Shane, we've worked together long enough. Yep, sure have. Nailed it.
You. So Manley,
Mac Manley,
Goff,
and you.
And me.
Well, I mean, Lawrence for like 4 months or something. We did 4 months together.
Yeah.
You know? Bernsey, we did a week, but it felt like 6 months.
Yeah, so man, you've worked with like a lot of people.
Right.
That's too many.
Me and David Schuster did a day that felt like 6 months. That's mean. I was kidding.
Was it on Christmas with John Paxton?
It was.
Did it happen to be that day?
No. I didn't get to do that. That was the best.
That was the Schuster special, yeah.
Schuster special.
What a tradition.
Christmas Day. Schuster's on. Pax is leaving the household. All right, let me go out back. I got to call David. It's Brilliant, man. Schuster set that up.
I'd be interested in like a one-page oral history of how that happened.
Oh, I know. I know exactly how it happened.
Why Christmas?
Well, I know how it continued, but I don't, it's not my place to share.
Okay.
Yeah, David Schuster.
He's coming on tomorrow, so you know we'll ask
Pax. That would be an incredible
Schuster.
Book.
And Schuster, they're coming on together.
Okay. Felt like this was an interrogation.
And you have to bring them bottles of vodka.
Okay. Right. There we go. All right. Speaks has information.
I do.
Information.
Got information from a well-placed Cubs source. And then you know what I did, Danny? I confirmed it with a second source because I'm told that's how to do it. And even
Phony, fake radio.
Even though I'm a non-reporter.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, but you're a multi-level baseball person.
That's exactly
Everyone
right.
Everyone knows that. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.